Hello and welcome to another You May or May Not Like It. Today, we're going to discuss, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Yay. So, I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at PureRockFury. And we're here with Mike. You can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. You can find all of our written reviews and stuff at ReviewandRoast.com. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/ReviewandRoast. And Instagram.com/ReviewandRoast at Instagram.com/StarWarsTabletop at pretty much anywhere on the planet /ReviewandRoast.
Hashtag Review and Roast.
That too. Hashtag Review and Roast. Hashtag This Box Seems a Little Light. Little inside joke, but.
Hashtag Rock Gut.
Hashtag Rock. No. Alright, so, set to the backdrop of awesome mixtape number 2, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 continues the team's adventures as they unravel the mystery behind Peter Quill's true parentage.
Peter Griffin?
Is that what I said?
No.
Yep. That would have been awesome.
It'd be awesome if you did, though.
So, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, was that 2015? That came
2014.
Out? 2014. It was the movie that everybody seemed to be pumped about, and I was like, that movie looks fucking retarded. And then, I watched it, and I was like, oh my god, that movie was amazing. So, yeah, I think just along with everyone else on the planet, everyone was pretty much pumped for the second one. It came out...
Thursday.
Technically Thursday, yes, but supposed...
Technically, you know, Cinco de Mayo.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, we've all seen it, and this is... we're going to run down what we thought. Now, there probably is going to be a decent amount of spoilers, so...
And we haven't even talked about it at all, you and I. No, we went to see it Thursday.
We did.
Brian saw it yesterday.
We did.
Sucked.
It was funny because we went. I went Thursday with Mike, Jeff, and Crystal, who never comes on the podcast. And when we left or whatever, we got to work the next day. I work with Jeff, and Jeff was like, so what did Mike say about it? Did you talk to him after the fact? I'm like, nah, I didn't talk to him, but I mean, listening to him cackle the whole time, I'm assuming he enjoyed himself.
Nah.
Unless he was just being tickled the whole time by Crystal.
A little bit.
I don't even want to go there. Sorry I brought it up.
Just saw on IMDb that Guardians made $140 million already.
That's it?
That's it?
It's only been 2 days.
That's insane money.
It is. I'm not saying it's not.
That's like twice Captain America Civil War money.
Right. So it was actually kind of awesome for me because I got the double dose of the Kurt Russell because the night before I watched The Hateful Eight. So. Nice. And you know what?
Can we do a podcast on that again?
I'd love to. Surprise, surprise for me, because I don't have TV. I don't even think I've seen anything outside of the teaser trailer for this. I didn't even know Kurt Russell was fucking in it.
Seriously?
Seriously. I had
the
no
whole
idea.
Reason I wanted to see this movie
We've
was...
We've been talking about it for a year and a half.
Well, I'm actually going to say, here's the disappointment for me. Where's the mustache from Hateful Eight? That thing never should have left his face.
No, I was digging the smooth beard. Look,
you know what? Honest,
the celestial beard.
He did look like the Gordon's Fisherman guy. Like he could have busted out some cod fillets right in the middle of it.
That's fine. I'll
monologue.
Eat some fish and chips and
water. And it would have worked too because that fish fountain right in front of the palace.
Right.
And in the movie, I did love the 1980s
version
of him. Which reminded me exactly of exactly what he looked like, hair and everything, in the 1980s. Like,
it was pretty spot on.
Oh,
like I kind of wanted to turn. Like, kind of wanted to leave and go watch
circa
Overboard.
The Thing or whatever. Any movie. I mean, take your pick.
Overboard.
That was exactly what he looked like.
Overboard.
Dude, go watch Escape from New York. That's some hair.
Yeah.
And some
it
pants.
Was and that was probably some of the best digital reverse aging effects I've seen to date.
Yeah, I was curious. I don't know if anyone's looked it up, but was that 100% like digital, or was that like a lot of makeup and a little computer tweaking?
I'm thinking, sure it was computer tweaking.
I'm thinking it's the same way they de-aged Michael. Help me out here. Michael.
Moore?
Michael.
Fassbender?
Talk about a movie. Title.
Ant-Man.
Oh.
Douglas.
Michael
yeah.
Douglas.
Nailed
yes.
it.
I mean, that's the thing. I kept thinking Paths of Glory. I'm like, Kirk, why can't I think of his last name?
They did it. Remember, they originally did it in the movie Tron when that came out, when they re-released that.
Didn't see it.
Well, that...
Seriously?
Considering that now they've officially put deceased actors in movies, like in full roles, I think that...
You want to know funny stuff about that?
What?
Nothing, because they're dead? Thanks for bringing that up.
No, when we first saw... Was it Rogue One?
You didn't know he was fake?
Yeah, I'm like, holy shit, the guy that replaced Tarkin looks just like him. And then this guy tells me after, like, 2 days later, we're talking about, he's like, yeah, that was digital. I'm like, shut the fuck up. I knew that.
I'm a movie critic.
I was testing you, son. Yeah. Wait a minute. What are we talking about?
I'm really excited.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I'm super excited that Sisyphus is going to be a Wonder Woman.
Nate?
God, I wish I had one of them things where I could hit the button and make crickets.
Yeah. I'll edit it in.
You're just mad because you couldn't think of it.
No, I didn't even, never thought of it.
Never crossed my mind.
Nope.
You're not high society enough.
Apparently, I'm not that familiar with Wonder Woman because I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I don't even.
So, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Go.
Yes. So, Yep.
This is good.
Yeah, it was awesome. We're weird. Yeah, so cool. Basically, you know, there's a little of the ribbing going back and forth. And someone cracks a little joke about how, you know, about Star-Lord's father or whatever. And he's like, I don't have a father. And, well, hey, guess what? You do. And his name is Ego, and it's Kurt Russell.
Well, they brought it up at the very end of the first movie that he wasn't 100% human, that he was half some type of ancient being, what the Nova Corps hadn't seen before, yada, yada. So they sort of set it up way back in the day. And then when they did talk about Kurt Russell, which you had no idea about, I honestly thought it could have been anything where they, you know, pull a Darth Vader Rogue One with him, and he pops in the middle and pops in at the end, and then the movie's over. But to my surprise and joy, he was brought in within like 15 minutes. I mean, well, actually within 4 minutes.
Yeah, the movie revolved around their relationship.
Yeah, so that was actually, that was the good and bad thing, because, spoiler alert, obviously if they're going to bring him in so soon, probably going to be the bad guy. That was almost exactly...
Who were the golden?
The writing was on the wall. Who were the golden? The Sovereign.
The Sovereign. They are like the mosquitoes of the movie.
Yeah.
They're just kind of annoying, and they're always around.
Well, and it totally revolved around the another thing from the trailer. The trailer was very leading and misleading at the same time, because the trailer shows the battle with this giant epic beast, which seems to be, oh my God, this movie's going to end rad. Yeah, that's like the first thing that happens. And then the second thing that happens is Kurt Russell shows up, which, again, is in the trailer. Normally, they save the, you know, they show you the trailer stuff. It's normally, like, towards the end or, like, a sneak peek, but it, like...
Can we run that down a little
off,
bit?
Actually? Got off to a big start. Yeah, go.
Rewind a little bit there.
1, 2, 3, go.
When you were talking about this big epic fight against this big epic monster, so basically what it was, the movie opens up where they're fighting this thing for the Sovereign.
Right. They are hired to protect
the batteries.
Now, at this point in the movie, we were all nice and cozy and comfortable, and halfway through our popcorn, when two dumb fucks walk in, like, this is my seat. And then the guy comes in. So I, like, kind of missed the first few minutes, and I don't know the whole what the fuck happened. But it looked like they were in almost like a coliseum / battle arena.
Sort of. No. It was
like,
more of a...
Like, where did that thing come from? They were just waiting on a platform, and then, boom, this thing is here.
It was basically like a giant space blob that came out of the sky.
Yeah, they knew that somebody was going to make an attempt on the batteries, so they hired the Guardians of the Galaxy to protect said batteries.
And they just have these batteries in buckets on a platform?
Something almost exactly like that, yeah.
That's kind
of... My guess is they didn't get too deep into what the batteries do. My guess is probably some kind of energy source.
Oh, I'm sure.
It'd be the same thing if they said, hey, a tornado's headed towards the power grid. Somebody get out there and, you know, make sure that this thing doesn't get damaged.
Well, I get that call at least once a week.
Yeah, I mean.
All right, so now I know everything. Okay, so.
But the battle was actually secondary. That's kind of what was awesome about it.
I agree. The main focus there was watching Baby Groot dance around, which was kind of fun.
Dance around, chase those lizards, et cetera, and whatnot.
Freeze every time Drax looked at him.
Do karate kicks.
Yeah, that was actually also pretty funny. Yeah, the whole intro to the movie with introducing us to the out of the planter Baby Groot was actually hilarious. And that Baby Groot stole the show like 90% of this movie. That when he was on screen, it was pretty much... They did a pretty good job with him this time around. I mean, not that they did a bad job before, but it was most of the time hilarious. And or you either feel really bad for him, or you're laughing your ass off at him.
I think at this point you can effectively call Groot the 21st century version of Chewbacca.
Pretty close.
Okay.
Like, he's just the character that everybody likes, and he doesn't say much, but when he does say anything, it's like, yes!
Yeah.
Because Chewbacca really has one word, and it's, rawr! And, you know.
That was a terrible Chewbacca.
Was super... That was pretty close to nailing it. I don't even know where you're getting that was off key.
All right, so anywho, back to the movie, setting up the stage here. They protect these guys, the batteries, whatever. They get their payment, their gratitude, whatever, and they're walking out. And it's funny, too, because when they're getting ready to walk out, they're like, you guys got to be careful. These guys are super sensitive. And Drax is like, shut up, you fucking dong bags or whatever. No, Rocket was saying something. Whatever, mm-hmm. It was funny. They were insulting him, and they're like trying to drag him out. And then he's like, geez, you're lucky they didn't kill you. He's like, yeah, we just like finally stole all these batteries. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, geez. Now, I don't know. I know you guys aren't reading it, but I since the first movie, I have been reading all the Rocket Raccoon and Groot comics. So that just kind of made it that much better for me, I feel. I don't know. It's kind of awesome.
I'll kind of just like string this out a bit and say that Rocket Raccoon was not quite as funny this time around.
See, for me, it was.
I think some of his lines were so canned and so cheesy. I was like, ugh. Like three or four times I audibly groaned at some of the lines he had, which sucked because I was most looking forward to him.
I only did it once.
Than anyone else in the movie.
I only did once. I was, you know what? You know who?
No, he had a couple zingers for
and
sure.
As far as zingers go, who stole the show was Drax.
No.
Yes.
No.
When he was dry heaving. Oh, thinking about how disgusting you are.
That was funny. I mean, there were some moments, but I think what ruined it is so much of what made Drax amazing in the first movie was his matter-of-fact like approach to saying anything, where he was just like, nothing gets past me. I have lightning speed, or whatever he says.
Right, I am super
Whereas tall. This thing, everything he said was like under this giant belly laugh, which like it was almost like he was telegraphing, like, oh, guess what? Here comes my funny part again. Blah! And he'd laugh super loud, and I'm like, this isn't as funny to me. Like, it was way funnier when he would just say something like, what do you mean this isn't the way things are? And people would be like,
you got to expect the character to grow a little bit between being with his own kind and now hanging out with these idiots.
Yeah, he's not going to stay 1,000% metaphorical after 3 years.
He's learned about humor.
No, the best parts were between him and Mantis, like by far.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was super obvious he wanted.
You are disgusting.
It was super obvious he wanted to get up in them guts, and she wanted him to get up in them guts, or at least I think they tried to pretend at the end, like, no, I don't like you that way, which is like, come on. You're going to make out at the end of the next movie. Just stop.
See, now, and this is where, going back to their, they fought the thing, they stole some batteries, they're leaving. They get found out pretty quickly, and they're being chased by...
It's hard not to get found out when you're standing in the princess's chamber, and you're like, hey, look at these batteries I'm stealing.
Right. And you got, like, hundreds of these ships after you, and, you know, you're trying to evade, you're going through an asteroid field, you're trying to make a jump to the next system, yada, yada, yada. Boom, enter Kurt Russell, everything dies. I mean, that was, bad.
The entrance of Kurt Russell was the best.
Yes.
He's standing on top of the egg ship, and he's just like, hey, guys, what's going on?
Yeah.
What's that? Just some little guy.
Like, no Thanos introduction, no Ronin, where it's like this big, like Ronin comes out of that, like, muck, or like when
he's
Thanos...
He's literally riding his ship like...
He's fucking
ghost riding.
Like somebody would ride a sea urchin with one hand on the lanyard, and then waving with the other one at the ship as he... flies by saving the day.
It was basically
good.
It was basically Marty McFly skeeching off the old pickup truck.
Pretty close
back to the future,
yeah.
As he's trying to escape from Biff.
It was pretty awesome.
Except he was trying to be friends with them, I guess.
Right, and therein introduces him, and they basically crash land on a planet, yada yada, and then Kurt Russell shows up, gives him the business, and then we get introduced to Mantis, who's another character that is fairly hilarious.
She was my favorite in the whole movie.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah, I was pleasantly pleased with her.
I think part of it, and this is kind of just general course of things, she's the new character, so I had no idea what to expect from her. Where at this point, like Star-Lord, I love Chris Pratt, but he's the weakest of the group, and for my money.
Like, as in?
Just, like, he's basically doing a toned-down, less doofy version of Andy from Parks and Rec. With a slight twinge of Indiana Jones.
He definitely
Jones
doesn't have a lot of the quirks that the other characters have.
He doesn't... He's
well, I mean, he's human. That's kind of the his shtick is.
I guess. No, I know.
I'm not saying.
I still think he's badass.
Oh, I he's Brian's my. He's still him. My favorite character, probably. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Why wouldn't he be?
No,
he's pretty good.
Rocket was my favorite in the last movie, and this movie, I think Mantis was the best.
I don't know if anyone's going to be surprised, but I would have to say my favorite, it was Yondu. Yondu fucking killed this movie.
Yondu, Michael Rooker is great.
He is awesome. I don't know why he's not pissed I didn't meet him at C2E2 this year.
I don't know why Michael Rooker is pretty much not in everything, because he should be.
God. And, you know, and that's the one thing me and Jeff raved about the entire drive from the theater back to dropping me off here was how awesome Yondu is. Dude, I told him I'm just going to start walking around work and just whistling.
What, a fan on your head?
No, Jeff's going to throw arrows at people while I fucking whistle.
I think you're out one person, but I won't go any deeper.
Yeah, I mean, he was awesome in the first movie, and he was even better in this movie, you know? And then, I mean, you get the whole little lovey-dovey, like, you know, he might be your father, but I'm your dad. You know, that kind of squishy talk towards the end or whatever, but...
I liked it better when he was supposedly going to eat.
Just a joke!
Yeah, but that gave him, you know, the substance that he needed to be the hero that he turned out to be.
Oh, Mary Poppins.
You know what I mean?
Yes, that was amazing.
Yeah.
No, Mary Poppins cool.
It's like, oh, man, you're like Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins cool? I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Forgot about that.
How could you forget? It was one of the highlights of the movie.
Yeah.
It was pretty huge. The whole movie was a highlight, like, for me. I didn't know what to expect to go in. Like I said, I haven't really watched like a ton of trailers. I don't really read up on the shit before I go. I just want to go and be surprised and enjoy my time, and I fucking absolutely did.
Yeah, I didn't go bonkers research, and like I said, I was hopeful that there would be plenty of Kurt Russell, and I was not disappointed in that aspect, because he actually was hilarious in many, many awesome scenes. Like, just his general mannerism of being the celestial being that he was, and just like kind of blasé, like, yeah, whatevs. Like, I'm kind of like a million years old, so.
Well, I think there's like a renaissance right now of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, because she's got a new movie coming out like in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And it's with Amy Schumer, which is not awesome for me because I'm not a fan, but I saw a trailer of it, and Goldie Hawn looks like she's totally doing the 70 and I'm still sexy.
No, that movie actually, I kind of want to see it.
I kind of totally want to see it.
I think Goldie Hawn's going to kill it. Honestly.
Yeah, like 80% of why is because of Goldie Hawn.
They need to make Overboard 2.
Did you see the scene in that where Goldie Hawn's drinking? She's like, oh, what is this? And the guy's like, welcome. And she thought he said whale come. And she spits it all over the fucking, like,
I did see that.
Spits it all over Amy Schumer's face or whatever. And I think I don't know, whatever. It's Goldie Hawn looks like she's into it. So, I mean, yeah, she's like 142 years old, but. Whatever.
I think her and Kurt Russell should just kind of still hit it.
Overboard 2. That'd make fucking.
Dude,
Scott
you know
stay.
What was awesome? Taserface.
Taserface was good.
The way everyone just laid into him was awesome.
That is kind of the best way to defeat a villain is to just de-pants him.
Right. Yeah.
Shooting at him is predictable.
Especially when those whatever they called him, and they're like, oh yeah, tell him Taserface.
The Sovereign laughed right in
real?
His face.
What a dong.
No, the whole layout of the movie was actually pretty good. And then you had, what's-her-name was back, Nebula.
Yes, and that was so much better in this one, though.
Oh, yeah, it's much better. And again, there's more, you know, we talked about in Iron Fist, a lot of development.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like this movie, the other movie introduced you, and this one sort of really developed everybody into the team they're going to be or what have you.
Right.
So I thought this movie was actually, normally sequels are like hit or miss, but this one's definitely on par, maybe even a smidgen better than the first one, in my opinion.
Well, I'll definitely have to see it a few more times. I don't know. I feel like the first one had a little more of the action. This one was a little more of the getting to know the family stuff.
Yeah, kind of. But if you think about where...
Plus, I'll tell you what I really... The one thing I did not really like about this movie was the Pac-Man at the end.
I thought that was great.
Oh, that was the whole point. Don't you remember? He made a whole big spiel about how I'm going to, like... Make a Pac-Man statue and something else. What was the other thing?
It was a Pac-Man thing. And he's like, it's going to get really weird.
Yeah, shit's going to get weird.
Yeah, that was funny. But,
was the whole point.
See, for me...
See, I feel like now you're just being a hater.
Feel like the movie, like you said, it was a lot of like character development and then one massively over-bloated action thing at the end, which I was kind of like, by the end of it, I was like, okay, I get it. Get it done already.
Well, no, I mean, I wouldn't say it was, you know, I didn't enjoy it. It just, that I think for 3 seconds of Pac-Man
was funny.
I didn't really care for it.
Because I saw it in 3D, and I'm just at the point now where it's like, if I have to see one more movie in 3D, I think I'm going to shoot myself.
You don't have to.
Well, when you buy tickets 3 months in advance or 3 weeks in advance, and yeah, I didn't buy it.
I will still, to this, I'm never going to see another 3D movie until they change the entire format on the entire planet of Earth into 3D.
It's just like all the like heavy action scenes look like a blur of just randomness.
Yeah, 3D is still the worst. I don't even know why they should charge. If they want to start charging less to fucking see it in 3D, all right, I'm with you. But to charge even more money than a standard ticket, so I have to sit in here and wear fucking sunglasses to see a movie.
I will say the opening shot with the car driving through the rural area when they're listening to Candy looked amazing in 3D. But as the movie went on, it just like certain parts of the movie just looked like a blur. And the end really just kicked it up into high gear.
Horrible.
Because I was like, oh God, it's just there's colors moving across the screen back and forth. And it was just like, stop with this fucking thing already.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I will bet money. I will bet substantial money that today, by the end of the day, Candy has 100,000 unique downloads on iTunes other services. That's going to be the song
Guardians, besides being the movies that they are, they really kind of pump those songs back up because then everybody buys the song. Everyone loves that 80s shit.
I thought, well, this was all 70s stuff. And I'll go as far to say this soundtrack better than the last movie. Because this had some deep cuts. Not deep cuts, but like kind of yacht rock classics like Lakeshore Drive and
that was a great one. I just kept thinking about the skateboarding because skated for that song.
But yeah, there were some I don't want to say deep cuts, but I mean if they would have put Spin and Wheel in there, that would have been pretty awesome. No what?
Sing it.
What goes up.
Oh, okay.
If they played that during the forest scene when Rocket was basically just going boop, boop, boop on that device.
I forgot about that scene. That scene was awesome.
If they would have just played what goes up must come down, like I would have fucking
I'm not going to lie, and I know it's not going to be popular, but when they crash landed on that planet, I don't think I would have hate if you see like an Ewok running around in the background.
Right?
Because it's all owned by the same company now. You're bouncing around the galaxy, you're bound to come across.
I think that would have upset way too many people.
Oh, I think it would have too. But personally, think it would have been hilarious that when that thing's bouncing through the forest, you see Ewoks running for their lives.
So many people are already like scared that they're going to marry the Marvel and Star Wars universes out of desperation at some point.
Desperation? What? They're the
If you think about it, I mean, no, Marvel's got like a giant library of characters, but it feels like they've thrown a lot of them at the screen already and TV or movies.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy wasn't even a real popular thing to begin with.
Right.
So, I mean, they can talk about deep cuts. I mean, there's 50 or 60 characters they could probably make pretty awesome movies about still, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I know they got Inhumans coming, but I don't really know what they've got on the bench after all this.
I think they're going to make a What If movie.
Yeah, now that they
That would be a neat series. They did like a What If.
I'd be into it.
Like a Netflix show or something. Yeah. Because then they could just pretty much use any actors for any characters.
We're giving them too many ideas.
Yeah. Yes, just stop. Back to the movie.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. Guardians of the...
Kurt Russell?
What if the
Kurt girl Russell. Is? So, yeah. No mustache. But, no. Kurt Russell is awesome.
Kurt Russell is, like, on the level of Ric Flair. That America is going to grind to a halt the day he dies.
Why you gotta bring up stuff like that at this time? Because
it's just saying, in the grand scheme of things, everybody's gonna eventually pass on. And when Kurt Russell dies, I feel like that is the equivalent of like a world leader that is beloved. Like when Gandhi died, Kurt Russell's gonna get the same reaction, at least out of me. Although when Gandhi died, I don't think I remembered, so I probably will be way more upset.
He's still alive.
No, he's not. He looked at me though, like what?
I looked at you more like, you don't know he's dead. That's super sad. Anyway, back to the movie. Kurt Russell is the best thing that ever happened to human life.
Well, I think this thing's pretty much off the rails, so let's just wrap it.
Well, see now
okay, so I gave something I didn't like. Does anyone else not like anything?
like I said, I was not fond of the final battle because I felt like it was A, bloated as hell. You need to
see it not 3D.
Probably so. I was a little disappointed that I felt like Drax, like, he really telegraphed his jokes way too much. I felt like Rocket's jokes were not quite as funny. And that's basically, I mean, they're not really complaints. They're just little nitpicky things.
I feel like Rocket almost took sort of a back seat.
I felt like the movie.
No, I think Rocket was more in the not comedic role of this one.
I agree.
To be honest. I mean, because he did some of the most character development along with Yondu. Obviously, they sort of teamed up together for a while, which was actually part of the better part of the movie.
I'll tell you what, this is how much I fucking liked Yondu in both movies. The very next morning, as soon as I got to work, first thing I did was start looking up to buy that coat. So I could paint my face blue and then start whistling like around Comic-Con.
Then you might just be the guy in the Matrix.
I'll be fat Yondu, but I'll be Yondu.
No, you will be fat Yondu. That's for sure.
You'll be Yondo.
Yeah. Yondo boy.
Yondo. Yondu's brother.
All right. So let's skip backwards a minute to one scene that maybe made the entire movie.
You're wrong.
When Yondu and Rocket were in the cell and Groot came over all with a sad face and they are like trying to explain him. I have, like, the super fin. It's in the drawer next to the thing. And he keeps coming back with nothing close to what Yondu asked for. And he kept giving him more and more hints. And he's, I forget what it was at one point. He's like, that's a toe.
Yeah.
Did you find that?
Like, do you guys have a refrigerator with toes in it? And he's like, uh-uh. And they're like, oh, let's not talk about that anymore.
That was awesome. That sequence may be the best part.
And to be honest, the best part of that sequence, in my opinion, was actually just Baby Groot walking at first, because he had just been picked on by all the fucking Ravagers.
Right.
And he's just walking, head down, super duper sad, and every time he takes a step, it's a squish. Like, because he's soaking wet, because everyone just dumped booze all over him.
Yep.
Like, the whole sequence, and then he just happens to, like, turn over to his side to see the two in the cell, and then he's super slowly, like, squishes over to the cell to, like, talk to them guys. It was actually the whole scene, like, leading to that was actually hilarious. Yeah. Like, everything about Baby Groot was actually pretty much killer.
I think it's going to be everybody's favorite character.
It's hard to, you don't want to jump on the bandwagon just because it's, but it's impossible not to love that.
Yeah, when I got to work on Friday, Jeff was wearing his Baby Groot shirt holding the Walkman. I'm like, where the fuck did you get that? He's like, oh, I've had it since like Tuesday. I'm like, why the hell didn't you wear it to the movie?
Yeah.
I have a feeling there's going to be like an army of young girls who are going to have Baby Groot tattoos before the year's
over. Dude, I'm about to have a Baby Groot tattoo.
I'm just saying, like, women are going to go ballistic for that character.
Yeah.
It's going to be like off the rails.
How can you not? Because they basically gave him, like, you remember like back in the day with Shrek? The Puss in Boots eyes.
Yeah.
Like, Baby Groot has those, like, the whole fucking movie. They're just glassy and half gonna cry in sadness and half gonna cry in happiness. Like, it's impossible to, like,
hate him.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
I will say this, too. Two other things that bugged me. A, not enough Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, because when they showed him, I didn't know he was in it either. But then when he popped on the screen in the beginning, I'm like, oh, my God. And then that's, you know.
But I think that was sort of a setup for something else with the other Ravager factions. And I'm not sure about the comic lore of all of that, because the other one was Ving Rhames, and then the other one was Ming Yen.
Because I was wondering why they got such big actors who literally are on screen for 2 minutes.
Right, and that's where my second gripe comes in this round is, if you're going to put Tommy Flanagan in a movie, fucking put him in the movie. Don't have him go, rah, and then throw him out in outer space to die.
Oh. Yeah.
Fuck you. Yeah.
I was actually quite surprised that he was going for it right in the beginning. I was a little upset about it. That is a thing I actually forgot.
That made me want to punch something.
I agree.
Because, I'm sorry, that guy was one of the best characters season to season on Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah.
He's
a great actor in virtually everything he's been in.
And he always gets the short shrift in almost everything he's in. Except for Sons of Anarchy. It was the only thing I've ever seen where he's gotten like a full, like, meaty role.
Even that took a couple of seasons.
Oh, yeah. Not the first season or two, but by the end, like, he was the guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, far and away.
Once Jax finally took over for real.
Well, I think at the very end of the series, doesn't he? He's becomes the man, isn't
no,
he?
No, actually, Chibs does. Not Chibs.
Tig?
Tig. Yeah, well, but I was going to say.
Was it Tig? I don't know if it was.
I believe it was. Maybe it was
Chibs. I'd have been fine with Happy. He was the fucking best one.
No. I'm sorry. Chibs and Tig saved that show the last couple seasons. That show really like got ridiculous. Yeah. But those two were the things that kept it interesting.
Guardians, what?
I'm just saying, like, if you're going to put Tommy Flanagan in a movie, this guy, to me, he should be at least a high B-list actor. Yeah. He's not, and that's super annoying to me.
I agree. You know who else is in a movie?
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, I forgot about that, too.
Yeah, he was in the end credits.
He's in the credits,
like 2 seconds.
I don't recall that. I remember.
Yeah, he was, like, sitting on the console. He said a few words, and then that was about it. Because as soon as he caught it on the screen, this guy's like, yes! And then he was gone. He didn't see him the rest of the movie.
You know why? Because
he said yes.
Willem Dafoe killed him in the Grand Budapest Hotel.
I still need to get that back.
Jeff Goldblum.
Fucking Max.
Grand Budapest.
He might still be one of my favorite actors, Jeff Goldblum. I don't know why. He's always
you know
smooth
who else
and hilarious to me.
That I didn't even realize till yesterday.
Who?
Nathan Fillion.
What?
Where's that?
Where is he?
You know the big yellow alien? The big muscular yellow alien?
No.
Vaguely.
Yeah, he's in both movies. It's Nathan Fillion.
Really?
Interesting.
I'm looking because I'm not.
Yeah, just Google Nathan Fillion and Guardians.
Huh. Interesting. He's probably keeping his options open in case DC gives him a call to play.
Dude, how has nobody called
him
to play?
He must be uncredited.
How? Because Hollywood's dumb.
Who's that? Nathan Fillion?
No, Hollywood. Oh. Hollywood's dumb. They hire good actors for movies and then they put them in outer space to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we got this Tommy Flanagan guy. He's like kind of like a high C-list actor, but he's really good.
David Hasselhoff was in it, too.
David Hasselhoff was in it. Yeah. That didn't need to happen, but it was funny. If he was in it any longer, it would have been like, come on.
So was Miley Cyrus and Seth Green.
What?
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus was in this.
She was the voice of Mainframe.
What? Okay.
Is uncredited, but.
Interesting, I guess. I can kind of see it. She's kind of a weirdo, but whatever. Anyway, so yeah, I'm just saying. More Tommy. Well, it's too late now. Tommy Flanagan's ruined for the MCU. So DC, get on that shit.
Not necessarily. They can bring him back as a different movie.
Or they can hire him for something else. I don't know. Anyway.
Guardians, what?
Rate it.
Yes, okay. So let's throw some numbers on it. I'm sorry, not yellow. It was like the bluish green alien. He's right here on my screen, so you can come look later. So, oh, God, I wish I could remember what I gave the first one.
I think I gave the first one a 9.
I think you, at the very least, did, yeah. You know, I did. I had a lot of fun. This movie was fucking awesome. I'll give it a 9.
Wow.
Why is that surprising?
Because you're going to hate my score, then. I liked it. That end battle just bugs me, and again, maybe I'll change my mind after I see it a second time, but at the moment... Few like little things, I'd probably go to 7.7. 7.5 right now.
Yeah, you need to stop watching shit in 3D. That's your fault. Don't blame the movie.
Nah, you might be right. Just don't think Rocket was as funny this time around. And plus, here's the thing, too.
Yeah, but I think you're putting shit on a pedestal, man. You got to go in there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, again,
don't put the raccoon on a pedestal.
Sorry, the raccoon was the best in the first movie. But here's the thing.
I don't know. I really liked him in this
movie. I didn't expect it to be as funny as it was the first time I saw the first movie. And it's arguably could have been nominated for Best Comedy of 2014 and been a legitimate nominee for that category. Because it probably was funnier than almost anything that came out of theater that year. This one, like, I went into it expecting it to be funny, so I didn't feel like there was as many surprises this time around. So that's what I said. I can't really...
Well, see, it was chock full of surprises for me because I didn't know shit about it. So Kurt Russell was surprised. Sylvester Stallone was surprised.
Tommy Flanagan was a surprise. But Kurt Russell I've known about for at least a year.
Yeah, so I knew Stallone was in it for... But I knew it was a cameo role because I heard it somewhere or saw it someplace. But I had no idea Tommy Flanagan was in. But he wouldn't make the news like Stallone would.
No.
Unfortunately, even though he's probably a better actor at this point.
Plus they killed... Well, so, shut up.
Yeah, that's the one thing we're not going to give
who?
Away.
I don't know.
Not going to talk about that.
Tommy Flanagan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cat's right out of the bag. Well, whatever. I'm going to give it a 9 as well. I actually think, personally, I mean, I watched the first Guardians of the Galaxy literally 10 minutes before we left to go see this one, and I think this one is actually funnier, to be honest.
Yeah, I gotta look at it this way.
And it's definitely on my Insta purchase when it comes out on Amazon digitally. That'll be on in the library.
Yeah,
I'll watch it 48 times.
If you want the action packed comedy of the year, then yes, the first one is better. If you want more character development, more interact, you know, more, I guess, not real interaction, but you know what I mean? Like more background on some of these characters coupled with the comedy and a little action, this movie.
I mean, I think we're discounting the action here because
the beginning.
When you watch this movie again, you guys are going to change your tune on action.
You're probably right.
No, there's definitely.
I mean, does everyone not remember Yondu leaving
the ship? No, that's the best part of the movie.
Like, action. Beginning of the movie. Action. Nebula and Gamora. Pretty much a lot of action. I mean, there's some I'm just saying, there's action.
Well, there's
This isn't a teen fucking drama.
No, I mean, and one I didn't of the say it was.
At points it gets a little
one of the tear-jerking. Scenes that actually is probably the strongest in the whole movie was when Gamora goes to sit in the field by herself to just kind of think about things. This was after her and Peter have their fight.
Yeah.
Right.
And then she yanks out the sword and cuts down the wheat that's like kind of rustling next to her. Annoying. But it's like just that shot, like where she's kind of off to the bottom right, and it's all like super vibrant, and all of a sudden you slowly see the ship coming in from the background. That is a fucking amazing shot. Mm-hmm. That sequence, and then that sequence when Gamora, is that her name? Now I'm gonna mix
the Nebula. Nebula's the sister.
Nebula, right? When she's essentially trying to kill Gamora with the ship. That whole sequence is fantastic.
No, I agree.
It's just for me, like the end, seeing it 3D, so my score could easily go up to 8.5.
The end scene is long and fairly complex, so I will give you that. It is your typical 25-minute ending mashup of shit, but they did bring pretty much everybody into it, and they bring in...
And they brought in... I thought they brought a lot of the fun into it, too.
Oh, my God.
When they're asking around who's got the tape.
Oh, that tape part was funny, but
and
no.
And when he puts, no. when she puts him to sleep, and he's like, oh, I totally didn't believe in you.
Nope. Oh, yeah, that too. That was actually pretty funny. Oh, never mind. Oh, Drax telegraphs all his shit.
He does.
Snap.
Moving back. No. What about when Yondu and Rocket are hyper jumping for about 5 minutes?
That was pretty great.
I forgot all about that.
You can't hyper jump.
Hey, the most you can do is normally 50. Well, how many was this? 700.
Actually, I think the most you can
Baby
do is
Groot's
like
eyeballs were popping out or something like that. It was actually that whole scene and them just bopping around the galaxy was actually fairly hilarious.
Interrupting Stan Lee.
Again, yeah. Stan Lee's talking with the Watchers, telling them Marvel stories. It was actually I actually can't believe I totally forgot about that because that was legit pretty hilarious.
Wait, we only saw it once, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
What are you going to do?
All right, so that's that. Thanks for stopping.
Oh, yeah, that's that. So, yeah, thoughts, comments, find us on Twitter at XorcinX, at Pure Rock Fury, and at Review and Roast. You head over to the site. You can rate the movie yourself. If you loved it, if you hated it, let us know, whatever. If other than that, yeah, that's going to wrap this one up. So have a good week.